sitting in church here in these lovely seats. You have no idea what was going on here Thursday and Friday, do you? Well, you will know soon enough. Tammy's going to share some photos. They set up lots of space in here to do food hampers, giveaways, gifts. She sent me photos and I was looking at it and I thought, wow, this is just amazing. They were just an awesome job. Can we please give Tammy a big hand for organising that? And Jeff, behind every good woman, there's a good man. And the team, yes. All of yous, well done. Good on yous. It was really it's quite inspiring, actually. It was really, really lovely. So, good morning, sir. Good to have you here. Great to have everyone here today. Who loves Christmas? Yeah. Christmas is every day for me. I just don't get gifts every day. But I do, I love Christmas. I love this time of the year. It's a beautiful opportunity to share our faith, a beautiful opportunity to for the church to come together and praise God and celebrate at this time of the year. The other day I was at a butcher shop collecting some things, and there was the gentleman talking to another customer, and he was just said to her, they're at the counter, and he said, "Well, you have a Merry Christmas and all the best." And she said, "Yeah, thank you, same to you." And I interrupted them. I said, "Hang on, what is Christmas?" And the man said, "It's giving gifts to one another." And I went, "Do you know what? I know the greatest gift of all." And they looked at me and I said, "The greatest gift is Jesus Christ. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ." And they looked at me and they didn't shun me. They just kept on walking. She walked out and he went on serving. So that's pretty cool. Every opportunity we get, why not? Why not share the love of God, do you know? This Christmas tree is a resemblance of you. Why? These lights resembles Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Yeah? You are the light. You are the salt. You are the light. Now, what? And that star at the top resembles Jesus Christ, the bright morning star. And so that's what we do, is we share what Christmas is all about. Let's not miss that opportunity, because you'll have plenty. This young girl walked into the kitchen to her mother and said to her, "Mum, is God in the house?" "This is the home," she went. "Yes, God is in the house." "Okay, God's in the house. So, Mum, is God in the kitchen here where we are? Is he here in the kitchen?" "Yes, yep, he's in the kitchen." "Mum, is he in this Vegemite jar?" The mother's, "Is he in the Vegemite jar?" "Yes, he's in the Vegemite jar." And she went, "Great, I've got him." He's in the Vegemite jar, so she captured him. But sometimes we try to put God in a box, you know, and it's really important that we, you know, not put God in a box. Many people, when Jesus came, a lot of the Israelis did not expect him to come as he did. They had put God in a box. I thought this is how they had in their minds how he was going to come. Of course, many, many, many Jews did receive him, but many missed out. And so, thankfully, that the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ came out to all the Gentiles and all the nations of the world, so that we can all come and now know and have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah? Okay, I'm going to read this to you. So I don't. There's 66 books in the Bible, 27 in the New Testament. So how many is that in the Old Testament? 30 what? Very good, 39. The Old Testament begins with Genesis and finishes with Malachi. And then there was about 500 or 600 years of God really not speaking at all. And then there was the beginning of Christ from Matthew to Revelations. And that ended with Revelation. There was 322 prophecies about Jesus Christ, about his birth, his death, his resurrection. So I'm just going to read this out so I don't get it wrong. So it's shared about where he's going to be born, how he's going to be born, how he's going to grow up, and what he's going to say, and how he is going to die. Even the number of coins that are going to be used to betray him. Now, do you know the compound mathematical probability of 322 prophecies being fulfilled in one man at this one moment of time? Does anybody know what that is? I didn't think you would. 1 over 84 and 100 zeros. 100 zeros. In other words, that does not happen every day. We serve an amazing God. We serve God's plan from the beginning of time of his redemption plan has been just amazing, beautiful and wonderful. And at this time of the year, there are hundreds and thousands. There's about, by the end of 2024, there'll be about 2.6 billion Christians on planet Earth. And at the moment, there are hundreds, millions of believers celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ all over the world. A friend of mine just come back from Austria. He's been to other parts as well. And he went to, someone told him to go to this cathedral and to the service. And he went to the service and it was packed out. And it was all local people, not tourists. Beautiful cathedral, full. And they were, and it was a service where they just sing. They had a composer and they were playing the music of Mendelssohn. You heard of Mendelssohn? Yes? Okay. Hallelujah is one of those songs, many other songs. And they had a full orchestra and it was just, he said it was phenomenal. And he's not a believer. He knows that Jesus is real, but he just hasn't chosen yet to follow him. He's a friend of mine. We're still working on him. And so all over the world. This morning, a friend of mine sent me some photos from Jordan, the country of Jordan, and some beautiful photos are outside the church. They've got the Christmas tree displayed and they're giving food out. They're just having fun. They're singing and they're sharing the gospel. They're sharing the love of Jesus Christ. It's just awesome. It's just wonderful what is going on all over the world. Now, the prophecies that happen in the Old Testament, have you had a prophecy? Do you have something in your heart that yet has not come to pass? Is there something? Well, let me tell you that God will bring that to pass. God will bring that prophetic word that he has spoken to you. He will bring that to pass. It will happen. It will happen. God will bring that to pass. Do not give up on the dream. Whether it's to be married, whether it is to have a child, whether it is to receive healing, whether it's you've struggled to have children and you're trying all your heart. Let me tell you, don't give up. I have seen many, many couples, many married couples have children. Just because of God's just miraculous touch of his hand upon their life. So don't give up. So let's have a look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Can we put that up? Thanks. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The government will rest on his shoulders. People, God's kingdom is coming to this earth. I'm telling you, it's coming. And it's being established every day that we are here. There's going to be a blend of heaven and earth coming together, and God's government will be on his shoulders. Who loves our governments? Now, just looking at everybody here, many of you have come from many different countries and very many different places, and you'd be like me, just disappointed with government. I can only think of one prime minister in Australia that for me was really good. Only one. Then there's one after that, one after that, there's ones before that, one after that. And I honestly thought, there was times when I thought, oh, this guy's going to be great. Or this woman's going to be great in your, you know. But to my, I continually got disappointed. So that's why we need to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. He's not only just in heaven, but he's here with us. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So what God wants to do on earth, it's exactly what he wants. He wants that replicated, what's in heaven, to be here on earth. So let's pray that. Who struggles to pray? Am I the only one? I am. Two, three, beautiful, lovely. Bert, can you give me that chair, please? I'm just going to do this illustration. There was a minister, a chaplain, a padre, who would go into hospitals and he would visit people and he would say hello to them, he would pray with them, he would comfort them, many people would want their last rites read out to them and he would lead them to Christ. And he'd go past this room. And there'd be this guy in this room, and every time he would come past, he'd stir the minister up. He'd stir the padre up. Hey, what are you doing back here? What are you here for? You know, going on and on. And one day the padre stopped at the door and just connected with him briefly. And the gentleman then waved him in and says, oh, come in, come in, come in. And they started a conversation. And he said, look, what are you all about? And the padre said to him, he was in bed, said to him, well, what do you know about God? So, well, I don't really know much. I don't really know anything. So he began to share the gospel with him and he began to encourage him to pray, to talk to God. He said, how can I pray to someone who I cannot see? That's a fair question. And the padre, the minister, got the chair in the room and pushed it up to where he was sleeping and says, okay, I'll help you. What you can do is you're laying in your bed. I want you to imagine that God the Father is sitting here in this chair. I want you to imagine he's there and I want you to just talk to him. Just like you and I have been talking, you talk to him. Try this at home. And so, days went by, And the padre dropped in to see him, and he wasn't in his bed, and he went to the nurse's counter. And he said to them, "Oh, where's Bill in room 323? Oh, I'm just sorry to tell you this, but he passed away." And he was dejected. He was just devastated. And they said, "But do you know something? The last few days, he has been so good. He's been so nice. He hasn't been a pest. He's just been appreciative. And he's had a lot of gratitude." And they said, "And you know, the interesting thing is, when we found him, when he'd passed away, do you know how they found him? They found him leaning over the chair like this, from his bed, like he was hugging his Heavenly Father. That's how they found him." How beautiful is that? Praying, talking to God is... that's the only thing that's really kept me walking and enjoying life as a Christian, is my prayer life and the Word of God life. Following the Word of God, following Jesus, doing what He wants me to do. And but prayer is important, because that's where the sustenance comes from. That's where life comes from, you know. And so, pray. Do not be shy. So unto us a child is given, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. So I look forward to God's government, you know, and he will be called Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. So they're speaking here of the Son of God being born over back over here in the beginning of the New Testament. Now let me, when I say this, Jesus was with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. They're all there together. God the Father had to come to earth, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God wants you and I to experience everlasting life. Life now on earth and after we're gone. Now, some people do not get the chance to make their peace with God. Some people go, "Oh, I'll do it just before I die." Some, you know, just, nah. No. Today's the day. Today's the day. Because you just do not know when your number is up. You don't know. We had a guy across the road from us, from Port Care, who we've been reaching out to for many years. And one day he came in and he wasn't too well. What's the matter? I've got throat cancer. And so he said, "It's okay, I'm going to beat this." And do you know what? He never beat it. He did not beat it. I visited in hospital a couple of times. I prayed with him. And the last time I saw him, I said, "I want to pray with you. And I want to connect you to Jesus Christ." And I prayed with him. And he actually said to me, "Because I love when you pray for me, because I feel this really, because it's like that Reiki." I go, "Reiki?" I go, "Mate, this is not Reiki. This is the presence of God. This is Jesus Christ touching your life." And so I prayed with him, led him to Christ. I think it was 4, 5, 6 weeks later he passed away. And I went over to see his mother, and I had the honour of doing his funeral. I asked his mum, "If you want me to do it, I'll do it." I'd never met his mum. She was actually quite shocked that I offered and that I would do it. And so anyway, ended up doing it. And it was a really good service. It was lovely. So you just do not know when your time, you do not know when your, those that are around you, those that are sick, those that you are in connection with, you just do not know when their time is up. Please, if you have opportunity, share the love of God, share the love of Jesus Christ with those with you. Can we please have a look at, actually, can I, I'm going to read that other one from here. That's okay. The Isaiah chapter 53, Jeff, that's fine. I want to do it from here. That's fine. This is in Isaiah 53. This is a prophecy. Where are we? Here we go. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. Sorry, it just jumped. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before his shearers. He did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment. And who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, but he was with a rich man at his death. Because he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully. Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days. And by his hand the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished. After his anguish he will see light and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant will justify many. And he will carry their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him the many as a portion. And he will receive the mighty as spoil, because he willingly submitted to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels. That's Christ dying, taking the death, the burial of Jesus Christ, dying for mankind's sin. Dying to bring healing to our bodies. God wants to bring healing to your bodies, emotionally as well. We hear of many traumas these days. I know I went through, I had traumas from a child. Maybe there's something that you've been grappling with for years. Can I say to you that God wants to heal your heart? And Luke chapter 4, verse 17 says, I came, he opened up the scroll, I came, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted? Have you had a relationship breakdown? Maybe a breakdown with a family member? Somebody. Let me tell you, God can bring healing to your heart. He can do that. Maybe there's some things you don't understand. Jesus says, I bring sight. I want you to see. Are you struggling to see things and understand things with life? Jesus will bring that to you. He'll touch you with his life. He says, I want to set the oppressed. Are you feeling oppressed in any way today? God wants to set you free from any oppression. Maybe in the past you've played around with Ouija boards, fortune tellers. Maybe you've been to a witch doctor. Maybe you've been to a white witch doctor, which is just as bad. So some of those things that if they can still hang on to us even after we're a Christian. They can still you played around with it. You've basically given them the right to hang on to you. So when you turn to Christ, he comes into your heart and your life, but there's still those things that have to be broken off. And it's a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer of repentance where we repent from that. So the beautiful story of Christmas is Jesus, yes, being born, but also born to take upon himself the sin of mankind. And also, he rose from the dead so that we can experience life. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There's some things that God, there are some things God cannot do. There are some things he cannot do. He will never lie to you. He will never let you down. I've let myself down with some decisions I've made. I have. I've made mistakes. I take that. I wear that. But God has never, ever let me down. Whenever there has been pain, whenever there's been heartache, he's been there and he's brought me through it. Not only has he brought me through it, he's healed me and brought wholeness to my life. Regardless of your past does not determine your future. If you're in here today and you're struggling with something, let me tell you, that does not identify you. If you're struggling with alcohol, that doesn't mean that your future means you're going to be an alcoholic. God can set you free from that and other sins that we have, sins of lying, continual lying. I know one guy who's come to Christ, and because he was so bad at swearing. Like every second, third word. But God is working in his heart. It's called sanctification. God will work that out of him. I wasn't a big swearer, but it changed for me straight away. Even smoking. I came to Christ, I was still smoking. I'm not saying smoking is a sin. Not at all. It's not healthy for you. 100%. We know that. That's the facts of life. One day I was sitting in the car with my friends and I'm smoking, chatting away. I was like, the Lord spoke to me and said, what are you doing? And I'm smoking. And I had this conviction, this just the Lord like saying to me, quit. Just finish it. I threw it out the car. There was no bushfire set. It's okay, no panic. Threw it out the car and I never touched a cigarette again. And I smoked from when I was about 12 years of age. That I thought would have been hard to quit, but just it's the grace of God. Yeah? Let's stand up. this is your first, second or third time here today, and you've never acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Saviour, look, there's something about when we, you know, we're saved. It's Jesus is our Saviour, but sometimes we don't make Him the Lord. It's really important to make Him the Lord. Make Him the Lord of your life. Give Him full reign. Give Him full lordship over your life. Oh, it's so beautiful. It is so amazing. When you let go and you go, okay, God, you got me. I'm yours. Do as you will. Doesn't mean you're going to go to the Simpson Desert. Not at all. Just give Him lordship over your life. There may be some that He might call to another nation. I don't know. He may just call you. Well, if you might be a plumber, you might be in the construction industry, you might be working on the mines. God might, that's your mission field. Wherever you are, that's your mission field. That's great. Don't have to get all, you know. He might send me to. It's okay, even if He did. But He won't. It's okay. Don't read too much into things. Okay, so if you've never received Jesus into your life, I'm going to pray that prayer, but take a step of making Jesus Christ Lord of your life. You know, He is. You know, when you die, you're going to go to heaven. You know, you're going to. Man, you're going to be falling on your knees. You're going to be so astounded at the beauty and the majesty of the living God. You might as well get into singing and worshiping Him now and getting to understand who He is. Read your word, talk to Him, pray to Him. Be prepared. Get ready. Get ready for when you go. Be prepared. So I'm going to pray this prayer, and this prayer is for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not just, and some of you have just got Him as your Savior. How about Lord? You pray this as well with me. Here we go. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father God, I ask You to come into my life today. Forgive me of my sins. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. Shedding Your blood for me. I receive You into my life. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to ask Pete, I'm just going to ask us if you're. Can we sing? And I want us, if you're comfortable, lift up your hands as we sing, as a sign of surrender and a sign of saying, Lord, I make You Lord of my life. I mean, for many people, I know He's your Lord. But let's, why don't we all do that together? Let's lift up our hands and let's sing. Thank you, team. If you need prayer for healing this morning, for grief, for any kind of pain, please come to the front. I'll be here. I'll wait for you. And I'd love to pray for you. Team, can we sing? Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Lily. Beautiful song. Oh, Holy Night.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long
Said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because He has looked with favor on the humble condition of His servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and His name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear Him. He has done a mighty deed with His arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. Praise God. Let's thank Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.
Thank you, Father. We bless you today, Lord. Lord, as Mary's soul magnifies you, Lord. Lord, we magnify you, Father God, and we'll do this, Lord, all the days to our last dying breath, Father God. We will magnify your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Grab a coffee. Still want some prayer?